It's Bionic Bigfoot, new from Kenner. And the $6 million man.
Look out, Steve!
You'll never beat Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah, this'll stop. Synchronic circuit! Give up, Bigfoot!
Bigfoot never gives up.
Bionic Bigfoot, new from Kenner. $6 million man sold separately.
I had the $6 million man, but I never had Bigfoot. All right, we'll get to Bigfoot in a few minutes.
Yes.
Bigfoot. He has big feet. Or maybe he just has one foot that's big. It's Monday. What is today? Today is the 29th of April. 6 days ago, my dad celebrated his 79th birthday in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I think he won a bunch of money on the slot machines. But yeah, I haven't been to Vegas in forever. It's been a very, 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 very long time. I think 2004, maybe 2003. So it's been quite a while. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, as they say. I did spend the weekend. Here's what I did over the weekend, if you're curious, if you're interested. This is what I did. I spent most of my weekend surfing on waves of anxiety. It's so much fun. That wave that hits you and you kind of surf it and then you think it's gone and then the tide goes back out and then whoosh, here it comes again. So you got to ride that wave. You can't push it back out to sea. There's no point in fighting it. It's just there. There's things you can do, I suppose. There's drugs you can take. I don't have any of those drugs because I stopped taking any sort of SSRI or anything like that back in 2000. Imagine, if you will, having been on an SSRI, you know what those types of drugs are. I'm sure a lot of you out there have taken them or know people who have taken them. You've got your Prozac, which is the OG, Paxil, and then there's a bunch of other ones. I took Paxil for a long time, and the immediate effect of Paxil years ago was to make me gain a whole bunch of weight and not care that I gained that weight. And then, anyway, it doesn't matter. I weaned myself off of it. You have to take it and then cut back and then that. You can't just stop. I know there are people who think, well, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, they get the brain zaps. The brain zaps aren't any fun. So I followed the rules and I decided not to make myself suffer. And I spent a good deal of time doing this. I decided to do that right before January and February of 2020. And by the end of February of 2020, I was completely off of them, just in time for the pandemic, which I had been paying attention to on secret message boards prior to that, watching all those videos of the Chinese people, you know, spasming in the streets and falling down, and that's coming here. And of course, that didn't happen here. Probably didn't happen there. Probably all propaganda, like everything else. But I was anxious, of course. And then you had the summer of love and the election. And I think pretty much up until, gosh, when? I would say that early 2021, I just decided this is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. And, you know, it's been pretty good since then, because shortly after that, in May of 2021, our son Gilbert was born. And, you know, you can't have that around you and still be effective. At least I can't. And, you know, there's been moments and things. But lately, the last couple of weeks, it's just been a slow build. So I'm just kind of dealing with that shit, you know. The way I kind of stave it off, though, is by hanging out with Gilbert, you know, playing cars, doing stuff outside. Over the weekend, starting Friday morning before work, I had opportunity to take him to the playground. So Friday we went to a park in Tucker. It's a nice place. They have walking trails. There's a big pond. They have a nice dock there that you can go on. There's a lady doing yoga there. So, you know, somebody's doing yoga. They got their mat out. They got everything going. I didn't let him go down a bugger, but we did go on all the rides and stuff, you know, all the all the playground stuff, you know, the swings, which he likes, the spinny thing, merry-go-round, I guess. He go into the big boy slide a couple times. It's funny, because that's definitely a five and up type of slide. And since he's only two and he'll be three very, very soon, I was kind of worried about it, but he just went right up there. And then I saw a dad, a father brought a kid that was younger than Gil, and that kid just went right all the way to the top and went down. I said, all right, well, this is okay. And the only problem with that kid being there is that he had a monster truck bus that the dad left next to his coffee cup on the wall. And what was funny about that is Gilbert kept looking at it, and I knew that he wanted it. And he goes, like, I want to go see that. I said, I want to go see that. I said, well, all right, you can go look at it because I want it. You can't have it. Meanwhile, he's coveting this bus while he's holding onto his vehicles. And these are mine. He just kept saying, these are mine. Anytime that kid got within 10 feet of him, these are mine. I said, yeah, that he knows they're yours. He's not coming for those. And then while we were there, you know, Gil wanted to go on the merry-go-round again. And there was, I would say, probably 7 or 8 years old kid on it, doing it. And I said, can he get on with you? And he said, sure. And he spun him around and he goes, I'm not going to go too fast because he's a little boy. He goes, I don't want him to go too fast. I thought it was very nice. And then I think that kid's brother or his friend, there were a couple of moms sitting up on the hill, you know, watching their kids. They all had fishing poles and they were down by the lake, pond, whatever you want to call it. And Gil was having fun finding sticks. He goes, look, daddy, a stick, and throwing them into the water, which I enjoyed doing. Although I did it at a creek and watched it go from one side of a bridge to the other side of the bridge. And throwing stones into the water to watch him splash. He wanted to see if there were any ducks. Of course, there were no ducks. And the kids, though, they're fishing. There were about five of them. And he wanted to go see what they were doing. So I walked him over there, and there was a girl, and she had a salamander. And I'm sure the salamander loved being held and played with by a bunch of kids. But that's what you do. I used to find salamanders and toads and frogs. That's what you do. Anyway, so Gilbert wanted to touch it. So she put it in his hand and it was doing, you know, walking around, doing the little thing, walking around on his hand. And he totally dug it. And then one of the other kids had a garter snake. About the big around as a pencil maybe, and I would say maybe a foot long, maybe less, skinny little garter snake. And it just took me back to those days when I was a kid and I would catch these snakes and put them in a box and throw some grass in there, you know, his natural habitat. Grass, sticks, maybe throw a bug in there to see if he'd eat it. Eventually just let it out. But I wouldn't let him touch the snake. And the thing overall about that, though, is because I had Gil with me, I didn't feel too awkward. I never would have gone up to those kids without him. Even though I discovered a long time ago, and this is years and years and years and years and years ago, probably right when I was a restaurant manager, because there was a lot of kids in there that would come in with their parents, and I just discovered that what they like, and I liked this when I was a kid, is when you don't talk to them like they're kids, when you talk to them like they're people. Just have a conversation, ask a question. Where'd you get that snake? The kid goes, I found it in my yard, and I put it in a bag, and I brought it here. And I go, oh, that's cool. Are you going to let it go? Oh, yeah. We saw a copperhead, though, on the other side in the water. I said, oh, yeah, those are scary. He goes, yeah, you just got to stay away from them. But, yeah, without him, no way. Because every parent is leery, and you see a big old goof like me, hey, where'd you get that snake? I would imagine they would freak out if I didn't have a toddler with me. And I would feel the same way if somebody was talking to my son. So, anyway, we spent the day on Saturday. I did the yard. I did the full yard, which meant I had to go out and pick up all the sticks. We have a lot of old trees, big trees with all their limbs falling down. They get in the yard, and you got to go around and pick them up. So I picked all those sticks up before I cut the grass. Front yard doesn't grow as fast as the back. So, but I decided to do the whole yard on Saturday. And I actually tricked, you know, when kids are little and you go, hey, do you want to help me pick up pine cones and sticks and put them in these bags? They're young. There's, you know, before they discover that it's work, it's fun. Because my grandpa used to do that with me. I would go in the springtime, you know, before the garden was tilled, go through and pick up rocks and throw them in the back of, and throw them in a thing that was attached, like a wagon that was attached to the back of his riding mower. And I thought that was fun. I'm going to help grandpa. I was about 7 or 8 years old and I realized that it was work tilling with an old tiller, you know, one that you had to push, had a big wheel on the front, push that through, and planting and stuff. All that stuff was work, but it was fun anyway, doing it with my granddad. And I'm glad I have those memories, but it was just, it just dawned on me because I see all these things that I ask him to do. And because my memory goes back so far, I just remember how I felt. And I think that's pretty cool. And we did that too. And then yesterday, Sunday, I took him over to Peachtree DeKalb Airport where there is a playground. There's a nice playground there. His mom takes him quite a bit. And he also likes to watch the planes land and take off, occasionally see a helicopter. And he says it right now, but we used to say hopicopter. And we, yeah, better. You know, last week I just had to make sure I was recording because last week I wasn't recording. Anyway, so we got there and the playground's gone. They had it all taped up. So I think they removed all the playground equipment, all gone. And he was bummed. I was bummed. We drove over there from the house. And it's like, what happened? I hope it comes back. He said, what happened, Daddy? He wanted to go over there. He goes, I want to go over there. I want to go over there. I want to go over there. No, you can't go over there. You can't go over there. We got back in the car, went back to Tucker, to a smaller playground than the one we went to on Friday, and he had a good time there as well. And that was it. And throughout all that time, no anxiety. I'm just enjoying my time with my kid. Our kid. I like to say our. It doesn't belong to anybody. Anyhow, then Saturday night, you know, live comedy. I just decided to chill out and go see some live comedy. So I went with my friend Jamie to see Aaron Weber at the Punchline. So now I have seen half of the members of the Nate Land podcast and only need to see Nate Bargatze, which is probably going to cost me a lot more than it cost me to go see the Punchline show with Aaron Weber, or even to see Dusty Slay, who's also on the ascending side of things when it comes to comedy. So is Aaron. This was a 6 p.m. show. This is my third in a row 6 p.m. show at the Punchline on a Saturday. And the first one I went to, there were not a lot of people there. Matt Brogner. And then even less people for Dana Gould, which was weird because Dana Gould has been doing stand-up comedy and writing for television and acting for a ton of years. And he did not, I would say it wasn't even a quarter full for him, which was weird, man. Anyway, so we get there at the 6 o'clock show for Aaron Weber. And holy crap, it was packed. I mean, a lot of people were there. Half of it wasn't, you know, One side did not have a lot of people, but I had interviewed Aaron about a month ago for the podcast on WSB, and he's very funny, and found out that he collects baseball cards. He even did that bit, so I brought him a card and gave it to him. It was an old John Smoltz Fleer card. It wasn't an autograph pull. I had had someone get that autograph for me, and he was surprised. He didn't have one. He has a chipper card. I think he pulled or he bought on eBay or something, but he was pleased with that. Both of his openers were good. I do not remember their names because I always try to go to Twitter and find people, and neither of them updated their Twitter, which means they, you know, got sick of Twitter, probably went to Threads, weren't too interested in being a part of that. But they were very funny too. The whole night was a lot of laughs, and yeah, I dug it. You know what I mean? I like going to see comedy, and I like that more now than going to see concerts. I'm going to tell you their names because I'm doing a search here. Matt Taylor Comedy, and Luke Bentley. Luke Bentley, he was the host that night. And Matt Taylor was the feature act. Both of them are very funny. You can check them both out as well. And I continue to work on my Dusty Slay impression. Because he was a host of the last episode of Nate Land. And we're having a good time. We're having a good time. I realize that doing Dusty Slay impression is not so much focusing on any kind of Southern accent or anything like that. He just kind of talks and he moves his hands a lot and he's touching his face and touching his shirt and tugging at his shirt and putting his hand up and moving around. And I've listened to enough of his podcasts. I should be able to get him down. I should be able to get him down at some point. I think I'm going to keep working on it. So I'd say that seeing comedy and spending time with your son, even if it's cutting the grass or tricking him into thinking that picking up pine cones is fun, that is a good way to fight that shit off. But I will say that the rest of the time I just sat around chain smoking and texting with friends. One of those friends, by the way, claims to have had a brief encounter with Bigfoot.
I think Bigfoot is blurry. That's the problem. It's not the photographer's fault. Bigfoot is blurry. And that's extra scary to me because there's a lot. I think Bigfoot is blurry. That's the problem. It's not the photographer's fault. Bigfoot is blurry. And that's extra scary to me because there's a large out of focus monster roaming the countryside.
The late, great Mitch Hedberg, one of the best comedians of the latter half of the 20th century, early 21st century, sadly passed away, but was very, very funny and has three major CDs that he put out. His first one being Strategic Grill Locations. I don't think this is from that. I just had to find this one. This is from Ha Ha Just for Laughs on YouTube. But always one of my favorite jokes, and he's one of my favorite comedians of all time. Anyway, that being beside the point. Last week on WSB's The Popcast, hosted by yours truly, I interviewed a man named Kelly Lachman, who's an actor, director, writer, producer, he does everything, who recently released a show called I Believe in Bigfoot Project, and that you can find on YouTube. You can also find it on Rumble, not because he's talking about vaccines or anything, just because he has some content that he blurs on YouTube that you don't have to blur on Rumble. So get that out of your head if you're like, Rumble, blah, 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 blah. It's if you have something on YouTube and you're worried about, you know, getting hit by their sensors or whatever, you have a side place to put it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going down a rabbit hole here or a Bigfoot hole. Do I believe in Bigfoot? I don't know. I guess so. I think the idea of Bigfoot is fun. I think the idea that there is a monster, I wouldn't say a monster, but a creature that has evaded people for centuries. There have been mythical tales of these types of creatures. One of them was in the $6 Million Man on ABC back in the 70s, fighting Lee Majors or Steve Austin, fighting the Bionic Woman. Bigfoot's always been in the culture. So because of that, I spent a lot of time in elementary school taking books out about Bigfoot and other cryptozoological type of things like, Loch Ness Monster. I believed all that stuff. And then when the shows would come on, In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy, I would watch those things. Anything with Bigfoot in it, I was watching. And, you know, at night when the woods, you hear things that don't sound like something that's Bigfoot. And it's always been something in pop culture that I've had an interest in. There are a lot of shows that have been on TV, though, that I don't watch, that I never watched, or maybe I tried to watch. And they never really appealed to me because the goal of those shows, like those ghost shows, the ones that are on, you know, like legitimate networks like Discovery or Travel Channel, they never find Bigfoot, of course. You would think that with drones and cameras and hiking in the modern era that they would have captured a Bigfoot. Who knows? You know, it's impossible to prove. It's impossible to disprove until there's a dead body, you know? or a live one. Let's, you know, we don't want to kill the damn thing. But his show that we talked about on the podcast, and that podcast will be out this week. He has some cool people on it, and it's become a labor of love for Kelly. And he's a cool guy, so I suggest you check it out.
Oh, it's good to see you again, Mr. Sampson. You got some friends?
Just some buddies from my old unit. They do this every year. You ever seen heavy combat, son? You should look so good after stepping on a landmine.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You go on ahead.
What are you doing? Why'd you let him go?
What? It's just a bunch of vets camping.
Dude, that was a shaved Bigfoot and Steve Summers in a wig. Made out of shaved Bigfoot.
One of my favorite scenes from the Venture Brothers. See, Bigfoot just permeates everything. Now, the reference in that episode of the Venture Brothers is Steve Summers, a.k.a. Steve Austin, and Bigfoot. They're the same characters. Put together by the OSI, which is the Office of Secretive, or whatever. OSI. I'm not going to Google it. I've forgotten it. I'm a terrible fan of the show. Anyway, check out Kelly Lachman's docuseries, I Believe in Bigfoot Project, on YouTube. You type that in there and you'll find it. And to any of you out there who are listening to this and may have had an experience with Sasquatch, let me know. And in the meantime, I can't wait for this. I got to find out where this is streaming. It's called Sasquatch Sunset. It's an absurdist fantasy movie directed by David Zellner and Nathan Zellner. Now you got Riley Keough, Elvis's granddaughter, right? And Jesse Eisenberg. And it's a family of Sasquatch over a period of 1 year. And it's, you know, supposed to be a comedy. And I can't wait to watch it. So if you've seen it, let me know what you think. Or don't spoil it, though. You know what I mean? Don't spoil it. That wouldn't be nice. All right. Like I said, don't spoil it, Bigfoot. Thank you for listening to my trampling, rambling, bambling, scambling. And make sure you listen to Radio Labyrinth or watch Radio Labyrinth proper, as edited and produced by Mr. Dustin Lawler. And all that jazz. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Talk to you later.